We invite you to turn your Bibles today to the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. We want to start reading with verse number 13, but our text is found in verse 18. Two words, Christ said, "My church." We want to spend a little time, the time that we have, looking at what Christ said and what he meant about his church. The book of Matthew, chapter number 16, we'll begin reading with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Philip the Macedonian king built a city, called it Caesarea. There was another Caesarea also, and this was denoted as being Philip's Caesarea, so they called it Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, that's no arbitrary question. God doesn't do anything arbitrarily. God has purpose in everything he does and says. And this was a question asked to, yes, get a response, but to open up a dialect so that Christ could give them understanding about what his mission and his ministry was and who it was that constituted, quote, "my church," unquote. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias," that is Elijah, "and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So you got to understand and see, dear soul, that back there in those days, there was so much demonic influence that these people believed in the reincarnation of souls and people coming back again in a different body. So they said, "They think you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah, come back, or one of the other prophets." My goodness. And he didn't go off on that and say, "Well, let me tell you why that's wrong." He just kept on saying, and he kept on talking, and he said, "Okay, now I asked you, who does men say that I am? But now I want to know," and this is really getting down to it, "whom do ye say that I am?" Dear soul, in our heart of hearts, in the depth of our consciousnesses, in the magnitude of our spiritual revelation, what does it say to us about Jesus? What do we have as a stable belief as to who the Lord Jesus Christ really was? This really matters, because as you answer this question, you will proclaim whether you are headed for eternal darkness or eternal life and light. So he said, "Yeah, but whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, he wasn't just quoting, the confession of faith, but that is a great confession of faith. But he wasn't just quoting something that he'd memorized. Because, how do you know? Because of what Jesus said is recorded in the next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Okay, you have said that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm saying, I'm talking to you, thou art Simon Bar-Jonah, that is son of Jonah. And I want you to know that you're blessed, because it wasn't your daddy that revealed that to you. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Stop and think. What is the common understanding in the world today about Jesus Christ? It's very depressing. But what is it your heart says about Jesus Christ? What is in my heart concerning the individual of the virgin-born Son of God, even Jesus Christ, the eternal Son who always has been and always will be? He is at one with the Father. Who do I say that he is? Who do you say that he is? And if we say this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," you can't say that except by the Holy Spirit. How do you know? Because of the verses I've got written down, but I'm going to read to you in just a minute. And also because of Jesus Christ's answer. He said, number one, whoever says that is a blessed man. And all the blessednesses of the Beatitudes and the Psalms refer to this man. Blessed is the man, you know, that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful and all that. Blessed are poor in heart. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are these, that, and the other. All the attitudes of blessedness belong to this man because this is the core. This is the heart. This is from where all of that other blessedness flows from. And it is because, number one, you didn't get it from Adam, from your natural heritage. He said, but the Father, capital F, and to make sure you understand who he's talking about, my Father which is in heaven hath given you this. There has been a revelation from God to your soul for you to understand and to proclaim and testify that you know and believe and hold it in your soul that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. And he says, now let me say something about that matter of revealed faith. Can you hold on a minute? Let's look at Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Please don't say revelations. If you do, don't say it when I'm around. It grieves my heart so bad I can't hardly stand it. This is not the book of the revelations, plural. There's only one person revealed, and that's Jesus Christ. And there's only one Jesus Christ. So it is the revelation, singular, of Jesus Christ. That's how the book starts. Which God gave unto him. This revelation that Peter had of Jesus Christ was originally given to the Son of God by God the Father. And he says, to show unto his servants, to show unto all of those who are his servants and spokespersons, his church, things which must shortly come to pass. These things are those things that are going to begin to come to pass right now. Heretofore, we're going to need the book of Hebrews to tell us what those Old Testament natural things mean in the New Testament spiritual church. We want to know about the altar and about worship and about the high priest and about the regular priest and about lambs and about sin offerings and burnt offerings. And the Apostle Paul goes through all of that in the book of Hebrews. And it's a wonderful book. You spend your lifetime studying it out and seeing what he's brought over into the New Testament by the Holy Spirit giving this unto him. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. If you get this revelation, you got it from Jesus Christ, and he got it from God the Father. Blessed art thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah. I want you to know two things. Number one, your daddy didn't tell you, but your father did. That's the only place you can get it. It's exclusively given to you by the eternal Father. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. They didn't know about all this stuff in the church. They had to have it revealed unto them. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I believe the angel there is a picture of the Holy Spirit. God the Father gave it to the God the Son. Jesus Christ prayed the Father that he would send us another comforter. He did. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. So God the Father to God the Son, from God the Son by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John. And then in verse number 4 of Revelation 1, John to the 7 churches in Asia. So John turns around and gives it to us. So that's how it comes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to the apostles and then to us. That's what he's talking about. That's the lineage of the revelation. How do you know who I am? because the Holy Spirit has shown it unto me. How did the Holy Spirit get it? Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, shall take of mine and show it unto you. And he said, I want you to know something. All that the Father hath is mine. So the Father reveals to the Son reveals by the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and the apostles reveal it to us. So this is what we're getting at. We're going back to the very heart and center and soul of divine revelation, which is the exclusive agent of God's church. You don't have a church because you met on a piece of ground and you and the deacons and the people and all said, yeah, this is a place where we want to build a building and start meeting here. Good. That's what we did. That's why we've got this. This is what this is all about. This is not the church. This is the building that the church comes to meet in. And so we see that the Lord says, but I say unto thee that thou art Peter, same word, rock, from Matthew 7:24. Thou art Peter, thou art a little stone. And upon this rock, I, Jesus Christ, will build, I'll do it, my church. Now, I know you have seen him, and I have too, of a big old sign in church buildings with a thermometer on it. And every time they get another $100, they paint a little bit more red and show that the red is going up and showing we got to go get up there to the top of that thermometer. That's how many thousands of dollars we need, and we're going to keep on going until we get it. That's not what this is talking about. There would be no church buildings if there was no true church itself. The true church itself is not an organization. The true church itself is an organism. It is a living being. God has ordained, as he breathes on us by the Holy Spirit and quickens souls and brings us into the kingdom of God with the new birth, we are living organisms. Peter said we're living stones. And so, and let me read you in Ephesians while I'm here. I've got so many things going on in my poor little mind. It don't take much to sidetrack my brain. It's just a little one-track brain. Now listen. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're coming right back to Matthew 6:16. In Ephesians chapter 2, talking to the Gentiles, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It did not say we're going to make you an Israelite. It said you're going to be made a fellow citizen with the saints. Now the Roman Catholic Church says if we don't say hocus pocus, calamine lotion, you can't be made a saint. But if you're born again, the Bible calls you a saint of God. It's not talking about Mother Teresa and those really extraordinary people that they bring forward and said, they did good. They did a miracle, so we're going to make them a saint. You can't make anybody a saint, and you can't make anybody to quit becoming a saint. Only God can make saints, and that's talking about born-again believers, so that every person you know, I don't care who they are, what century they lived in, what race they were, it doesn't matter. If God saved them, they became saints. That's what the Bible says. Listen. You will be fellow citizens with the saints, with the other believers, and you'll be fellow citizens in the household of God. That's his church. Verse number 20, Ephesians 2. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But you say, I never met Peter. I never met John. I never met James. I never met the Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking about faith. This is talking about spiritual buildings. This is talking about God building you up in the most holy faith, granting you spiritual life. This is talking about my church, quote unquote. This is talking about Jesus Christ talking about his church. We have so many misconceptions because we have falsely called this a church. It is not a church. It never has been a church. It is not now a church. It never will be a church. It is a building in which the church comes to meet. The church is the living organism, the born-again body of believers. And while I'm here, I might as well say it. Not everybody that comes in and goes out with any regularity are part of the true church. Only those who are believers in Christ, only those who are who have been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, only those who name Christ as their Lord, like Peter's doing here, only those who walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, they alone are the saints of God. Listen, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, if these men are foundation, and not if, but since Jesus Christ is the true foundation, where is he laid? Where is that foundation laid? You say, well, he's not really laid anywhere because he's not really a physical, literal foundation. Bingo. You are built upon the being of the Holy Son of God and his revelation to his apostles so that he might, as in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 4, might reveal himself to us by the Holy Spirit. Again, 1 John. I keep thinking of verses and have to go back to them, but I want to build this message according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 1, and we hadn't finished reading in Ephesians, and we hadn't finished reading in Matthew 16, so I'm going to try to get back there. Okay. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. What are you talking about? Of the word of life, capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. John said, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him, we handled him. And he says in verse 2 of 1 John 1, for the life was manifest. The very life of God was manifest. Whew. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That's what I'm still trying to do. 2022 years down the road, I'm still trying to go back to the beginning and trust that the Holy Spirit will come and move upon me so that I can say the proper words in the right spirit, and it will be made effectual, and the Holy Spirit will move upon you, and you will be built up in this most holy faith, and you will be put upon, quote, my church, unquote, and you will be called blessed like Peter was by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Listen, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, up until about a year ago, that passage would not have meant exactly what it means now. Everywhere I turn, somebody's saying, oh, I wish we could get back to fellowship with the church. Well, dear sinner, if you have lost fellowship with God, you're in trouble. And dear believer, if you have fellowship with God, even if you don't have contact and fellowship, what we call fellowship is commonly known by that word with believers. If we have lost fellowship with believers and we are truly God's people, we have not lost fellowship with God. And I think, and I've been preaching it to you, I don't know how many people have been hearing it, but I know that my master sent me over here to say it. And after I say it, it's up to you. It's in your lap. And it's between you and the Lord then. And that is that we have fellowship with God, and it's been proven by God removing from us the opportunity and the privilege of having fellowship one with another. He says, and our fellowship is with God. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And if you're having fellowship with us, and John's been dead 2,000 years, truly this fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you have fellowship with John and Paul and Peter? Can you have fellowship with these apostles? And can you have fellowship with the person of Jesus Christ? Dear soul, you can if you are a Christian. That's just, may I say, normal in the life of the Christian. That's what he does. That's what she does. Their fellowship is with the Father. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So we understand and see that the idea of fellowship is not exclusively, and never really has been, contained within the church building. It is not a thing for the church building. It is a thing for the fellowship and the enjoyment and the blessedness and the edification of the church organism. You say, well, went to the grocery store the other day. Well, good for you. I hope you carried your checkbook. Hope you had your credit card. You say, well, I ran into brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and we had great fellowship. And you probably had to get out of everybody's way because you can't stand around in a grocery store anymore. People are always wanting to get where you are. I don't care where you stand. That's where they want to get. So you say, I have fellowship with them. Really? Good. Or was it just a warm, fuzzy feeling? And did you and them then have continued fellowship with the Lord as you loaded your groceries in the back of your car and drove home? They went their way, you went your way. Did you continue to have fellowship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Dear soul, that's what God was bragging on about Peter. You didn't get this from humankind. Folks, if you had fellowship, you didn't get it from brother so-and-so at the drugstore or sister so-and-so at the grocery store. If you got it, you got it from Jesus Christ, whether you see them or you don't see them. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a building up in the most holy faith. We didn't get through reading Ephesians. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We're built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's what Jesus said. I will build my church. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So he says, verse 21 of Ephesians 2, in whom, in Christ, in the church, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Watch that next word. Ephesians 2:21. In whom, in Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth. You say, well, our church has had to grow. We had so many people coming, we had to build a bigger sanctuary. That's not what this is talking about. I know a church that built a bigger sanctuary. As soon as they got it built, everybody turned against the preacher and walked off and left him, and he looked like he was meeting like a BB in a boxcar. He had a big old building, but there wasn't nobody to put in it. But start with, that wasn't the church anyhow. Listen, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. How do we understand this growing? Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in grace, not growing in numbers, growing in how many parking spaces we have to have in our parking lot, but growing in grace. Are you growing in grace? Do you have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, by having the apostles present to you everything that they saw and heard and touched and felt? Has the gospel become more than 3 points in a poem? And is it the living, vital Word of God that dwells in your heart? And even when you don't have a Bible in your hands or in your lap, you may have the Word of God in your mind. And you may have the Word of God in your heart. Have you ever driven somewhere and not realized how you got there? And come to understand that the Lord had been ministering to you by His Holy Spirit with so many wonderful revelations of God and such precious truths that God was revealing unto you. Yes, you stopped at every stop sign. You obeyed all the traffic laws. And you were very safe. But there was a consciousness of God above the consciousness of the world. He says, in whom all the building, it's fitly framed together. You don't have an oops. Move into a new house and you start with a notepad and a pencil and you start writing down all the stuff the builder needs to come back and fix. Why does it need to be fixed? It's a brand new house because it wasn't fitly framed together to start with. And you say, well, the light switch in the bedroom don't work. This commode in the bathroom is faulty. We got problems. This door is crooked. It won't shut. And you make up all that list and you say, you need to come back. And may I say, rots a ruck with that to get him back over there. Maybe you might get him back once, but that's about it. You're going to have to wind up doing it yourself or wind up hiring somebody. It's not fitly framed together. But God's true living organism, church, is fitly framed together. The doors don't creak. The floors don't sag. The roof don't leak. Everything is exactly like it's supposed to be because this is a spiritual organism. Thank God for that. Let's finish this reading. Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. It's growing in the Lord. And it's going to be a place for Him to dwell. Read the next verse. In whom, in the Lord, ye also are builded together, watch it now, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that good? Where does God dwell? He dwells in His church. Where is that church located? It does not have a permanent, fixed, physical foundation. It has the greatest of all foundations. It don't wobble on the axle. It don't sink. It don't have any problems. The doors don't sag. The windows are squared off in it. Everything's okay because it is a spiritual and holy building, holy habitation of God through the Holy Spirit. So when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, saw more than what Peter was saying, and he knows and sees far more than what this ignorant lump can say. But trying to do everything I can to fulfill my master's requirement to expound to you and open up the scriptures to you for you to see the trueness of my church, unquote, to see what Jesus meant about my church. He didn't say my denomination. Where did we get so many denominations? There's only one Bible, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, but there's many denominations. And within each of those denominations, there's many, many diversities. It's like that beast over there with 10 heads and I don't know how many horns. There's just so many diversities in it. That's what happens with people today. They don't like what one preacher says, and they won't be, herded up and made to walk according to the scriptures. They're going to find somebody else to say something they like. And that's how these mega churches get into being. They don't want to listen, folks. People don't want to be told what to do. They won't be like God's people, like sheep, following the master's voice. These are they which follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 14:4. And they don't want to do it. Now, Matthew chapter 16 again. "But whom say ye that I am?" Without hesitation. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You standing here as Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Christ. You are very man. You're standing here. We can see you. You're tangible. As John said, we can touch, we can feel, we can hear, and we present him unto you. And so he says, "Thou art the Christ." And then he goes on and says, and I want everybody to understand and know who the Christ is. You are the eternal Son of the eternal God. You always have been and you always will be. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said in John 8. So Peter is saying, this tangible, visible human being that I see standing in front of me is the Son of God, the Son of the true and living God. And Jesus said, all right, stop right there. While we got that here on the front burner, we want to see this. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Okay, you said I'm the son of the Father. All right, let's go back to your daddy. Blessed art thou, son of Jonah. I want you to know, number one, your daddy, I don't care how good of an Israelite he was or wasn't. Doesn't make any difference. I don't care what he did or didn't teach you. You didn't get this from him. Dear soul, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you are sitting in a church building with all the stuff that looks like to us today an organized assembly. If you see the true and living church, you didn't get that from sitting on a bench in religion. That comes only exclusively from the Holy Spirit revealing who the church is and what the church is. On this rock I will build my church. What rock was he talking about? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what rock is he talking about? He's talking about the rock of God's sovereign revelation. He's saying upon the rock of this divine revelation, this is where I'm going to build my church. when my Father reveals himself and me by the Holy Spirit to a lost sinner and God saves him, I will establish him upon the foundation of God's revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. That's the foundation. That's the rock of revealed faith. Listen, folks, God didn't make Peter the bishop of the church when he said this. We don't need more, listen, officers and hierarchy in organized religion. We're not concerned about organized religion primarily anyhow. Let me say something before, you know, you jump out of your skin. God said, let all things be done decently and in order. Okay? So when we do meet together, if the Lord gives us that opportunity to meet together, we try to do everything decently and in order according to the Holy Spirit, as Paul told Timothy, that you might know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. And we need to know that. But we need to see that there is far more than just this visible, literal, tangible building that is a picture of the true church of God with a foundation and walls of salvation and so forth. And God sustains it because it is a holy habitation of God which groweth. Now, if you have a superstructure, a building that grows out over the foundation, you got problems. The foundation has to hold up everything upon which the building rests. Hold up all of that which the building is resting. It is held up by the foundation itself. So we understand and see that this is a growing organism. This is a supernatural organism. This is not identified by churchianity. It is identified by the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from your natural daddy. You say, well, my daddy didn't go to church. Okay. What about your spiritual fathers? They didn't give it to you either. Unless while they were talking, the Holy Spirit gave it to you himself, which was really not them doing it. It was the Holy Spirit doing it and showing you that the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ is his church and is built upon who do you say that I am? You're not going to fool him. You're not going to get out your Philadelphia Confession of Faith and turn to chapter so-and-so and read of the Son of God. You know, he is this. No. It has to come from your heart by revelation from the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ from God the Father. What is my church? It is the organism in which God dwells, the holy habitation which groweth. It is a rock of revelation upon which the Lord builds all of his church. It's not just Peter. And this is not promoting Peter to some height and saying, well, he's got it, so, you know, fall in line with him. No. God's got it, and God revealed it to him. We all need to fall in line with Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. Upon the rock of divinely revealed manifestation. Upon the rock of divine revelation revealed from God by the Holy Spirit to those that he has chosen. That is how I will build my church. That's the rock I will build my church on. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's talking about the church marching up to the gates of hell, and they're not being able to keep them out. The devil despises it when anybody gets saved, genuinely, truly born again, because he kept them in he kept them in security. He kept them in captivity. The Bible said, taking them captive at his will. And when the Lord Jesus comes, he's the one, the man that's stronger than the first one, and he delivers him of his goods and robs him of all of his possessions and steals everything that he has unto him and brings it to himself. That's the Lord Jesus Christ defeating the devil. The devil ain't got gates enough to hold that out. And Martin Luther's song said, one little word shall fail him. And it does. For Jesus said, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Isn't that good? So we find and see, dear soul, that this is Christ's church. It is manifest. It is carried on. It is continued. It is sustained by the rock of divinely revealed faith by the Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody can prevent it. It's not contained within walls. A lot of people got saved and they wasn't nowhere near a church building. And this old God, the Holy Spirit, is moving. You remember where Paul was when he went over into Macedonia? He had a dream and there's a man over there saying, come over and help us. So when he got over there, he didn't find a man, he found a woman, Lydia. Where was she? Down by the river, doing what? Washing clothes with the rest of the women. And God opened the heart of Lydia, the Bible says, and manifest God's true church to her. And she became incorporated within the church, a living stone, and built up in the most holy faith. And God said, that's the rock of divine revelation that I'm talking about. It's on that rock of revealed faith that I am building my church. It's always been that way. It has never been any other way. It always will be that way. God is revealing himself by his Spirit sovereignly to whom he will in the time that he wills. Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. The Bible says in verse 26, God understood, hath made of one blood, started the blood flowing in Adam, breathing in his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. The life's in the blood. So when he breathed into his body, the blood started flowing, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Yeah, but how did he control that? Just turn everybody loose and let them do what they would? Nope, listen. Secondly, and hath determined the times before appointed. And number two, and the bounds of their habitation. The times before appointed. When these various nations would rise and when people would be born. And when families would have children and so forth and extend the humanity on the earth. And then secondly, and the bounds of their habitation. Not only where they would be born, but where they were to be born. Extended the bounds of their habitation. Established it. And okay, verse 27, Acts 17. Why? That they should seek the Lord. God Almighty is in sovereign control of his church. Amen. And he establishes when they are to dwell on the earth and where they are to dwell upon the earth, because that is the very best place and in the very best time for them to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. That's how God is establishing it. It is my church. Dear soul, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you ain't got anything to do with the building of God's church. You say, well, we got a missionary program. Well, good for you. I hope you keep it up. But, dear soul, all you're doing is advancing your denominational name unless the Holy Spirit is in it. Are you in it for the Baptist? Are you in it for the denomination? Are you in it for your own glory? Are you in it to say, well, look at this big old map of the world. Everywhere there's a red pen here, that's where we got a missionary. Are you just in the red pen business? Or are you determined that you're going to be used of the Holy Spirit for God to extend his church and you to be called blessed like Peter was and say, this is by divine revelation? How did you get saved? Well, old brother so-and-so, you know, he preached that favorite sermon of his. He preaches every so often, and people always get saved. Really? Well, you should be honest. You should say people walk down an aisle, and people get baptized. Because the wind blows where it wills, and thou can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. John 3:8. Dear soul, we need to keep on doing what we're doing. We need to make sure we're doing it for the right reason. We need to make sure we're doing it in the right manner. We need to preach the word and do what God said and be witnesses. And you are the light of the world. All of you who go to the grocery store or go to the pharmacy or whatever, you need to make sure you're always a witness and a testimony for the Lord. And dear soul, you don't know when God may or may not use you, because you cannot tell when one gets born again. You say, well, I can tell. My cousin just bawled her eyes out when she went down to the altar. Is that what you think Jesus was saying to Peter? Upon that kind of rock, I'll build my church? How do you know that her boyfriend hadn't just broke up with her the night before and she was just squalling because she felt bad? So listen, this is Christ's church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, the rock of divine revelation. Did Peter grow a new arm or leg, or did he, you know, grow a new nose? Was there any physical change in his appearance? No. Then how do you know that Peter had it and John didn't have it? This old John is a tremendous apostle. How do you know that James and the rest of them didn't have it? You couldn't tell by looking at it. You have to listen to Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter comes forth with not just a precise and a concise, you know, revelation of the Philadelphia Confession of Faith, but out of his heart pours that which the Holy Spirit had poured in him. And that's all you got to pour out anyhow, is what the Holy Spirit put in you. And out he comes with this divine revelation. In so much he's standing in the very presence and in the face of the Son of God himself. And the Son of God himself rejoices in Peter's statement, and he receives it and he blesses him for it. And he said, let's go one step farther. I want y'all to know, before I send y'all out, this is how I build my church. Well, how will we know? Well, you'll know by the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through Peter, just like he did, through those that you preached to, just like he did through Peter. Let me read something. I think this is what I want to read you. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 11. And he was asked, why did you speak to them in parables in verse number 10? Listen, verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, this is Matthew 13:11, because, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. But everybody's squalling, everybody's crying, everybody got touched by the preachers telling about the moon shining over little Willie's grave. Everybody got into an emotion when they heard the preacher tell about the puppy dog sitting on the railroad track and the train cut his tail off. Ooh, how do you know which one's the spirit and which? This old, you need to be careful, because we have brought a lot of wild gourds and put them in the pot and expected it to make a good meal, and it don't. It'll poison you. Upon this rock, the rock of divine revelation, will I build my church. My church. It's not the Baptist church or the Methodist or the Pentecostal or the Catholics or whatever. I don't want to name all of them. It's Christ's church. And dear soul, I'm afraid that I have rubbed shoulders with some men that seem to be dedicated to religious tradition and really devoted to traditional practice, that I didn't feel like they knew God from third base. I couldn't do anything about it. I preached to them like I preached to everybody else, but they didn't get it. And dear soul, that's what Jesus said. Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. There again, you need to understand this is Christ's church, not your church. It's not our church. It's not our denominational church. It's not those of us who live in this particular community and speak this particular way and have this color of skin. It's Christ's church. And it will grow according to the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, of Jesus Christ and who he really is. And that's how he builds his church. Go with me to John chapter 20, the book of John. Chapter 20. I can get these pages to turn. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. John 20, 30. And many other signs, miracles, wonders, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Oh, why didn't you write them down? We need that. That's not what it says. If you think you need those that are not written, then you think you need something God didn't give you. And God said he gave you everything pertains to life and godliness. So you're just too much dependent upon your Bible and not dependent enough upon the Word. Verse 31, John 20, 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yay, we got the same opportunity and possibility as Peter had. Peter, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Your mom and daddy didn't teach you that, son. The Heavenly Father, my Father which is in heaven, showed you that. And upon the rock of that divine revelation is how I'm going to build my church worlds without end. All of those that's going to be saved way down yonder thousands of years from now, are all those saved on the day of Pentecost at the beginning of this thing, will all be saved the same way. And it'll all be known to be exactly the right way, in that it is done by the revelation of God through the Holy Spirit, that they are revealed Christ to their hearts. These are written, why? That you might believe what? Well, we believe about this, about the second coming. No, that's not what it said. That I might learn how many hairs in that horse's tail over in Revelation 6. No. That I might find out where Cain got his wife. Who cares? There's one thing you must know. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must know that. You must know that. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm not just believing to pass a mental or a written test in Sunday school. I am believing in that my heart might have imparted to it eternal life. Look at 1 John. 1 John. I hope I don't run over. 1 John chapter 20. Nope, I don't have 20 chapters. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. 1 John 2, 18. And yes, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now, are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Antichrist will not turn loose until the last time came, which began at the cross. Where do Antichrist come from? They went out from us, but they were not of us. Or if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction. How do you know I'm not an Antichrist? How do you know you're not an Antichrist? We have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And it says, as I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this. Why did John say the Holy Spirit led him to write these epistles? Because there's some people out there that knew the truth. Well, I thought we were supposed to study the Bible because we don't know anything and we're supposed to learn from the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. I'm not going to put it down in any slightest way. Wish we could study it more. But I don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by being a student of the literal word. I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation from God revealing the true and living word to me. That's why Peter was blessed. That's where God's church comes from. He says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. And that's why I'm writing to you. Not because you don't know so that I might instruct you, but it's because you do know so that you'll receive what I'm saying and know that I'm telling you the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter included God, the Son and the Father. Jesus said, if you don't include the Son and the Father, you are Antichrist. Think about it. The Israelite in the old economy, God the Father. Jesus came, stood right in among them. And he said, now listen, y'all. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You want to know what that God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph looked like back in those Old Testament days? Here I am. They said, we're not going to have you. You ain't God. What amazes me is, 4,000 years they studied and found out that somebody, some human being, some physical man was going to stand among them, born of a virgin, and say, that's God. Well, that's exactly what happened. And you know what they said? That ain't God. Dear soul, listen. God is going to reveal himself to his people. You need to have a revelation of Jesus Christ to your soul and say, that's God. Then you are on the rock of that revealed faith become a living stone in God's true church. Ain't that good? Oh, my goodness. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. That's 1 John 2:24. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Let's finish up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat will love those that are begotten of him. In other words, if you love the Father, you'll love his youngins. By this we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Verse 2, 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Oh, my soul, believeth in him. Quote your favorite verse in John 3. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth, and the really it is into him, hath everlasting life and shall not perish. Isn't that good? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the only way that it can be. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our time is up. Dear soul, listen. You need to restructure your thinking. We need to restructure our thinking. And God's giving us a time. It's like when you have I can't even think of it. When everybody breaks and goes out into the lobby and gets away from the show for a while, what do you call that? And then you go back in to finish listening at the rest of the show. God has given us an intermission. Thank you. And here we are. Pandemic. World stopped. Can't go to church. Oh, really? I haven't missed going to church a single day, a single hour, a single week, a single moment. Because I am in the church. I am of the church. I have been birthed into the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ given to me by the Father. What a wonderful thing. I trust this has been a blessing to you and that it made sense to you. I'll leave it up to the Lord. And I trust you will continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And the Lord willing, we'll continue in the second lesson just as soon as this second lesson starts.